Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Social scientists really want us to present their information in such a way as, like, I am the one who is without bias, right? It sort of depends on that.
And that they've done their studies well, and they've been safeguarding against a lot of that. But as we're going to find out in our conversation this morning, maybe not so much. Now, you might think that political and social scientists might be less affected by implicit bias, but a group of women and other researchers say that just because they study bias, it doesn't mean that they have any better chance of not having to deal with it. Our contributing editor and social scientist, Neil Milner, joins us now to explain. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
We're talking about the link between implicit bias and discrimination. And we've talked with, for example, Justin Levinson from the UH Law School about what a lot of people might point to, racial bias, how that might turn up in a legal situation. But looking at what we're going to talk about this morning, it's almost a bit of a wonderment that social scientists who know they're going off to study this yet find themselves in the same position of having to be affected by it.
Well, my students may not have thought this, but we're human too, actually. And the fact is, it's implicit bias. By implicit, it means that it's an unconscious kind of bias that's often contrary to people's explicit values, to our own explicit values. And we found this in all kinds of things. And it really has to do, to a great extent, with how the brain works. I mean, the brain has to somehow filter out millions and millions of stimuli at any given point. And one of the ways that we do that is to have these sorts of filters that work. And some of these filters might be good filters, they might be bad filters, but they're generally unconscious filters. They operate. And so we find that there is implicit bias in all kinds of things. In this case, it involves a group of women who did this blog post, a group of women political scientists who are part of an organization called Women Who Know Stuff, and I'll get back to that later. And they posted a bias showing that political scientists have the same kinds of implicit bias that show up in all kinds of other things, certainly in sciences, that women are cited less, that women are called less as experts, all of these kinds of things. And the blog post says, you guys who do this post, this is the Monkey Cage, a very good
Washington Post
Monkey Cage, you guys explicitly support what we're doing, but you still see this kind of implicit bias there.
All of that said, it sort of syncs with what we've seen over time with a great gender gap between, pay equity of what women make, what men make, general understandings of how we might look at someone who has got a little bit more weight on their body than some other people do, maybe people who wear glasses. I mean, we tend to know these things, and yet you say that implicit bias is still working, but especially in something that is as, forgive me for saying this, it's polar opposites, men and women, we don't seem to be able to get through that yet.
Well, it's because it's very hard to change. You know, the problem, we have to be very careful here. All of the discrimination is not because of implicit bias. There's structural things. The glass ceiling operates for other kinds of reasons. But the fact of the matter is that it's hard to change some of these things because it's the way we've learned to think and the way that we think without thinking. So when you look at this kind of research, and there's a lot of it in regard to women in the sciences, and even in women in the more mathematically oriented fields of political science, political methodology, what you see is all the way up from a set of assumptions all the way up to the result of that assumptions, you see a kind of implicit bias. When you give a group of scientists, academic scientists, dossiers to hire a student lab assistant. So it was a fairly, you have to know a fair amount about sciences. And the dossier is the same. Of course, the people don't know that this is a false dossier. The dossiers are exactly the same all the way down the line, except in one case they're males, in the other case they're females. Both male and female scientists tend to be more interested in hiring the male, more interested in giving that person more money, and more interested in mentoring that kind of person. And you find that, so you have a kind of bias from the ground up, which makes it very difficult to deal with, even if you get past the resistance, which says, I'm not like that. So you have all kinds of good policies in regard to hiring, in regard to diversity, and those things are important, but you still have this other kind of persistent, pervasive set of biases operating.
Okay, so this XY bias that you just talked about, which in some ways also flowed out of an article in The Atlantic from yesterday, keeps pointing to some of these same factors, and yet we don't see the conversation changing all that much. Those tiny increments of change, though, maybe it just is to say that it's going to take a lot longer, because you mentioned the point that it's how you're taught to think. It's what, you know, you grow up knowing or think you know. And, of course, the resistance to say, I'm prejudiced, because none of us wants to feel that we are, but implicit bias affects all of us. So is that enough to say that if you really change how someone is taught, then, in fact, you're going to be able to pull against this at some point?
Well, it's pretty hard. The experiments that they've done in regard to changing people's behavior are just that, they're experiments. So let's talk about a few different ways that they've tried to deal with this. And remember, it's not that you've been taught explicitly to think this way. You've developed standards, you've developed filters, kind of absorbing into the culture. One of the straightforward things you try to do is to make more information available. Women Who Know Stuff, for example, is a blog that lists political, a website that lists a whole bunch of women political scientists and their expertise. You click on it, you get a long list, so you can draw from that. Another is to have certain kind of policies. But when you try to actually change this behavior, what they've done is try to do things experimentally. For example, it appears that if you just tell someone it's unjust, and you try to teach a group of people, don't do it because it's unjust, you should change your behavior, that doesn't work. Which seems to work better is to have disorienting stereotypes. So they introduce a picture of a woman in a hard hat, dressed like a construction worker, breastfeeding her baby. And that seems to have an effect of changing things when you make the story more nuanced. So there's that kind of thing going on there. The problem, or at least the challenge, is that we don't know how much of that is a long-term effect here. So that those are the kinds of things that we try to do. Awareness, policies that encourage another kind of thing, but also trying to find a way to work with these kind of complicated, subtle, and again, implicit things that operate in our minds.
So, for example, with the construction worker breastfeeding the baby, someone looking at that and saying, oh, look at that. You know, somebody could be involved in, I mean, but even they might not even know that they're thinking this,
right,
that, oh, look, there's a person who is involved with construction that's also a mom. But you're also suggesting that that might just be sort of a novel thought, but not necessarily something that would change perception about who construction workers are and whether or not they regard their families in the same way.
It appears to change it. But we only know that it changes it for a short period of time, that over time we don't know.
And that's a novel factor.
That's a novel factor. And again, it's competing with all kinds of other things in the culture. So, again, it's a very hard thing to change. Making people aware certainly helps, and helping people understand that they're not any more rational than anybody else, that this is the way our brain works, also helps understand. But there's this additional kind of changing stimulus.
Very, very, very quickly. So what's the big takeaway from knowing all of this?
The big takeaway is that it's a big and subtle problem, and that we have to deal with it in some different sorts of ways in terms of teaching people to behave in other ways. Because teaching means something that's not didactic, not saying this is how you should behave. That doesn't seem to work.
No, it has to do with your own behavior and the people who watch it.
And it has to do with disorienting perceptions that makes your mind work different, where you don't have a filter ready.
All right. Well, we have to filter this down for the next conversation.
Yes.
Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome, Bethany.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Sure.
Political analyst Neil Milner is our contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View.